Chapter 9, Text 3, Purport Continued. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 4.31.14, Yatattaro mula nishechanena tripyanti tatskanda bhujo pashaka pranopahara chayatindriyanam tatayva savarhanamachyuteja. By giving water to the root of a tree, one satisfies its branches, twigs, and leaves. And by supplying food to the stomach, one satisfies all the senses of the body. Similarly, by engaging in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, one automatically satisfies all the demigods and all other living entities. Therefore, after reading Bhagavad Gita, one should promptly come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. One should give up all other engagements and adopt the service of the Supreme Lord, Krishna, the Personality of Godhead. If one is convinced of this philosophy of life, that is faith. Now, the development of that faith is the process of Krishna consciousness. There are three divisions of Krishna conscious men. In the third class are those who have no faith. Even if they are officially engaged in devotional service, they cannot achieve the highest perfectional stage. Most probably, they will slip after some time. They may become engaged, but because they haven't complete conviction and faith, it is very difficult for them to continue in Krishna consciousness. We have practical experience in discharging our missionary activity that some people come and apply themselves to Krishna consciousness with some hidden motive, and as soon as they are economically a little well situated, they give up this process and take to their old ways again. It is only by faith that one can advance in Krishna consciousness. As far as the development of faith is concerned, one who is well versed in the literatures of devotional service and has attained the stage of firm faith is called a first-class person in Krishna consciousness. And in the second class are those who are not very advanced in understanding the devotional scriptures, but who automatically have firm faith that Krishna bhakti, or service to Krishna, is the best course, and so in good faith they have taken it up. Thus they are superior to the third class, who have neither perfect knowledge of the scriptures nor good faith, but by association and simplicity are trying to follow. The third class person in Krishna consciousness may fall down, but when one is in the second class he does not fall down, and for the first class person in Krishna consciousness there is no chance of falling down. One in the first class will surely make progress and achieve the result at the end. As far as the third class person in Krishna consciousness is concerned, although he has faith in the conviction that devotional service to Krishna is very good, he has not yet gained adequate knowledge of Krishna through the scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes these third class persons in Krishna consciousness have some tendency toward karma yoga and jnana yoga, and sometimes they are disturbed. But as soon as the infection of karma yoga or jnana yoga is vanquished, they become second class or first class persons in Krishna consciousness. Faith in Krishna is also divided into three stages and described in Srimad Bhagavatam. First class attachment, second class attachment, and third class attachment are also explained in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto. Those who have no faith even after hearing about Krishna and the excellence of devotional service, who think that it is simply eulogy, find the path very difficult, even if they are supposedly engaged in devotional service. For them, there is very little hope of gaining perfection. Thus, faith is very important in the discharge of devotional service. Text 4. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadam vyaktamurtina matstani sarvabhutani nachahante shavastitaha. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not perceivable through the gross material senses. It is said, Atakshi Krishna namadi nabaved grahyam indriyai sevon mukehi jivado swayameva sporatyadaha. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.234. Lord Sri Krishna's name, fame, pastimes, etc., cannot be understood by material senses. Only to one who is engaged in pure devotional service under proper guidance is he revealed. In the Brahma Samhita 5.38, it is stated, Vremandana charita bhakti velochanena santak sadaivridayesha velokayanti. One can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, always within himself and outside himself, if one has developed the transcendental loving attitude towards him. Thus, for people in general, he is not visible. Here it is said that although he is all-pervading, everywhere present, he is not conceivable by the material senses. This is indicated here by the word of Vyaktamurtina. But actually, although we cannot see him, everything is resting in him. As we have discussed in the 7th chapter, the entire material cosmic manifestation is only a combination of his two different energies, the superior spiritual energy and the inferior material energy. Just as the sunshine is spread all over the universe, so the energy of the Lord is spread all over the creation, and everything is resting in that energy. Yet one should not conclude that because he is spread all over, he has lost his personal existence. To refute such an argument, the Lord says, I am everywhere, and everything is in me, but still I am aloof. For example, a king heads a government which is but the manifestation of the king's energy. The different governmental departments are nothing but the energies of the king, and each department is resting on the king's power. But still, one cannot expect the king to be present in every department personally. That is a crude example. Similarly, all the manifestations that we see and everything that exists, both in this material world and in the spiritual world, are resting on the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The creation takes place by the diffusion of his different energies, and as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Vishtibhyaham idam kritsnam, he is everywhere present by his personal representation, the diffusion of his different energies. Text 5. Nacha matsthani bhutani pashyame yogamaishwaram bhuta brinnata bhutastho mamatma bhuta bhavanah. And yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, I am not a part of this cosmic manifestation, for myself is the very source of creation. Purport. The Lord says that everything is resting on him, matstani savabhutani. This should not be misunderstood. The Lord is not directly concerned with the maintenance and sustenance of this material manifestation. Sometimes we see a picture of Atlas holding the globe on his shoulders. He seems to be very tired holding this great earthly planet. Such an image should not be entertained in connection with Krishna's upholding this created universe. He says that although everything is resting on him, he is aloof. The planetary systems are floating in space, and this space is the energy of the Supreme Lord. But he is different from space. He is differently situated. Therefore, the Lord says, although they are situated on my inconceivable energy, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am aloof from them. This is the inconceivable opulence of the Lord. In the Nirukti Vedic Dictionary, it is said, Yujyate nena durgateshu karyeshu. The Supreme Lord is performing inconceivably wonderful pastimes, displaying his energy. His person is full of different potent energies, and his determination is itself actual fact. In this way, the Personality of Godhead is to be understood. We may think of doing something, but there are so many impediments, and sometimes it is not possible to do as we like. But when Krishna wants to do something, simply by his willing, everything is performed so perfectly that one cannot imagine how it is being done. The Lord explains this fact. Although he is the maintainer and sustainer of the entire material manifestation, he does not touch this material manifestation. Simply by his supreme will, everything is created, everything is sustained, everything is maintained, and everything is annihilated. There is no difference between his mind and himself, as there is a difference between ourselves and our present material mind, because he is absolute spirit. Simultaneously, the Lord is present in everything, yet the common man cannot understand how he is also present personally. He is different from this material manifestation, yet everything is resting on him. This is explained here as Yogam Aishwaram, the mystic power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 6.
Yata kashastito nityam vayu sarvatra gomaham tata sarvani bhutani matstani chubadarya.
Understand that as the mighty wind, blowing everywhere, rests always in the sky, so all created beings rest in me. Purport. For the ordinary person, it is almost inconceivable how the huge material creation is resting in him. But the Lord is giving an example which may help us to understand. The sky may be the biggest manifestation we can conceive, and in that sky the wind or air is the biggest manifestation in the cosmic world. The movement of the air influences the movements of everything. But although the wind is great, it is still situated within the sky. The wind is not beyond the sky. Similarly, all the wonderful cosmic manifestations are existing by the supreme will of God, and all of them are subordinate to that supreme will. As we generally say, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus everything is moving under his will. By his will everything is being created, everything is being maintained, and everything is being annihilated. Still, he is aloof from everything, as the sky is always aloof from the activities of the wind. In the Upanishads it is stated, Yadnbisha Vatak Pavati. It is out of the fear of the Supreme Lord that the wind is blowing. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.8.1. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 3.8.9 it is stated, Etasya va aksharasya prashasane gargi surya chandramaso vindrato tishtata etasya va akarasya prashasane gargi dhyav apratimyo vindrato tishtataha. By the Supreme Order, under the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the moon, the sun, and the other great planets are moving. In the Brahma Samhita 5.52 also it is stated, Yakchakshadesha sabitasakalakrahanam rajasamasta sudamutadasheshateja yasyagya brahmati samritakala chakro govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. This is a description of the movement of the sun. It is said that the sun is considered to be one of the eyes of the Supreme Lord, and that it has immense potency to diffuse heat and light. Still, it is moving in its prescribed orbit by the order and the supreme will of Govinda. So, from the Vedic literature, we can find evidence that this material manifestation, which appears to us to be very wonderful and great, is under the complete control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This will be further explained in the later verses of this chapter. Text 7.
Sarvabhutani kunteya pakatim yanti mamikam kalpakshaye punastani kalpado visrajamyaham.
O son of Kunti, at the end of the millennium all material manifestations enter into my nature, and at the beginning of another millennium, by my potency, I create them again. Purport. The creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this material cosmic manifestation are completely dependent on the supreme will of the Personality of Godhead. At the end of the millennium means at the death of Brahma. Brahma lives for 100 years, and his one day is calculated at 4,300,000,000 of our earthly years. His night is of the same duration. His month consists of 30 such days and nights, and his year of 12 months. After 100 such years, when Brahma dies, the devastation or annihilation takes place. This means that the energy manifested by the Supreme Lord is again wound up in himself. Then again, when there is a need to manifest the cosmic world, it is done by his will. Bahusyam. Although I am one, I shall become many. This is the Vedic aphorism, Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.3. He expands himself in this material energy, and the whole cosmic manifestation again takes place. Text 8.
Apakatin svamavashtamya visvajami punak puno bhuta gramam imankritsnam avasham prakate vishat.
The whole cosmic order is under me. Under my will, it is automatically manifested again and again, and under my will, it is annihilated at the end. Purport. This material world is the manifestation of the inferior energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This has already been explained several times. At the creation, the material energy is let loose as the Mahatattva, into which the Lord, as his first Purusha incarnation, Mahavishnu, enters. He lies within the causal ocean and breathes out innumerable universes, and into each universe the Lord again enters as Garbo Dakshai Vishnu. Each universe is in that way created. He still further manifests himself as Chiro Dakshai Vishnu, and that Vishnu enters into everything, even into the minute atom. This fact is explained here. He enters into everything. Now, as far as the living entities are concerned, they are impregnated into this material nature, and as a result of their past deeds, they take different positions. Thus the activities of this material world begin. The activities of the different species of living beings are begun from the very moment of the creation. It is not that all is evolved. The different species of life are created immediately along with the universe. Men, animals, beasts, birds, everything is simultaneously created, because whatever desires the living entities had at the last annihilation are again manifested. It is clearly indicated here by the word avasham that the living entities have nothing to do with this process. The state of being in their past life, in the past creation, is simply manifested again, and all this is done simply by his will. This is the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Personality of God. And after creating different species of life, he has no connection with them. The creation takes place to accommodate the inclinations of the various living entities, and so the Lord does not become involved with it.
Text 9. Nachamang tan nikarmani nibadhanti dhananjaya udasin navadasinam asaktang teshu karmasu.
O Dhananjaya, all this work cannot bind me. I am ever detached from all these material activities, seated as though neutral.
Purport.
One should not think, in this connection, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no engagement. In his spiritual world, he is always engaged. In the Brahma Samhita 5.6, it is stated,
Atma Ramasya Tasyasti Prakritya Samagamah.
He is always involved in his eternal, blissful, spiritual activities, but he has nothing to do with these material activities. Material activities are being carried on by his different potencies. The Lord is always neutral in the material activities of the created world. This neutrality is mentioned here with the word udasinavat. Although he has control over every minute detail of material activities, he is sitting as if neutral. The example can be given of a high court judge sitting on his bench. By his order, so many things are happening. Someone is being hanged, someone is being put into jail, someone is awarded a huge amount of wealth. But still, he is neutral. He has nothing to do with all that gain and loss. Similarly, the Lord is always neutral, although he has his hand in every sphere of activity. In the Vedanta Sutra 2.1.34, it is stated, Vaishamya Nayagrinyena. He is not situated in the dualities of this material world. He is transcendental to these dualities, nor is he attached to the creation and annihilation of this material world. The living entities take their different forms in the various species of life according to their past deeds, and the Lord doesn't interfere with them.
Text 10. Mayadyakshena prakati suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagannvipadivartate.
This material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Purport. It is clearly stated here that the Supreme Lord, although aloof from all the activities of the material world, remains the Supreme Director. The Supreme Lord is the Supreme Will and the background of this material manifestation. But the management is being conducted by material nature. Krishna also states in Bhagavad Gita that of all of the living entities in different forms and species, I am the Father. The Father gives seeds to the womb of the mother for the child, and similarly the Supreme Lord, by his mere glance, injects all the living entities into the womb of material nature, and they come out in their different forms and species according to their last desires and activities. All these living entities, although born under the glance of the Supreme Lord, take their different bodies according to their past deeds and desires. So the Lord is not directly attached to this material creation. He simply glances over material nature. Material nature is thus activated, and everything is created immediately. Because he glances over material nature, there is undoubtedly activity on the part of the Supreme Lord, but he has nothing to do with the manifestation of the material world directly. This example is given in the Smriti. When there is a fragrant flower before someone, the fragrance is touched by the smelling power of the person, yet the smelling and the flower are detached from one another. There is a similar connection between the material world and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, he has nothing to do with this material world, but he creates by his glance and ordains. In summary, material nature, without the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot do anything. Yet the Supreme Personality is detached from all material activities.
Text 11. Avajanande mamudha manushin tanam ashritam param bhavam ajananto mamabhuta maheshwaram.
Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be.
Purport.
From the other explanations of the previous verses in this chapter, it is clear that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although appearing like a human being, is not a common man. The Personality of Godhead, who conducts the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the complete cosmic manifestation, cannot be a human being. Yet there are many foolish men who consider Krishna to be merely a powerful man and nothing more. Actually, he is the original Supreme Personality, as is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, Ishwarak Parama Krishna. He is the Supreme Lord. There are many Ishwaras, controllers, and one appears greater than another. In the ordinary management of affairs in the material world, we find some official or director, and above him there is a secretary, and above him a minister, and above him a president. Each of them is a controller, but one is controlled by another. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that Krishna is the supreme controller. There are many controllers undoubtedly, both in the material and spiritual world, but Krishna is the supreme controller, Ishwarak Parama Krishna, and his body is Satchidananda, non-material. Material bodies cannot perform the wonderful acts described in previous verses. The Lord's body is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Although he is not a common man, the foolish deride him and consider him to be a man. His body is called here Manushim because he is acting just like a man, a friend of Arjuna's, a politician involved in the battle of Kurukshetra. In so many ways, he is acting just like an ordinary man, but actually his body is Satchidananda Vigraha, eternal bliss and knowledge absolute. This is confirmed in the Vedic language also. Satchidananda Rupaya Krishnaya. I offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the eternal blissful form of knowledge. Gopal Tapani Upanishad 1.1. There are other descriptions in the Vedic language also. Tamekam Govindam. You are Govinda, the pleasure of the senses and the cows, Satchidananda Vigraham, and your form is transcendental, full of knowledge, bliss, and eternality. Gopal Tapani Upanishad 1.35. Despite the transcendental qualities of Lord Krishna's body, its full bliss and knowledge, there are many so-called scholars and commentators of Bhagavad Gita who deride Krishna as an ordinary man. The scholar may be born an extraordinary man due to his previous good work, but this conception of Sri Krishna is due to a poor fund of knowledge. Therefore he is called Mudha, for only foolish persons consider Krishna to be an ordinary human being. The foolish consider Krishna an ordinary human being because they do not know the confidential activities of the Supreme Lord and his different energies. They do not know that Krishna's body is a symbol of complete knowledge and bliss, that he is the proprietor of everything that be, and that he can award liberation to anyone. Because they do not know that Krishna has so many transcendental qualifications, they deride him. Nor do they know that the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the material world is a manifestation of his internal energy. He is the master of the material energy. As has been explained in several places, Mama Maya Dodotteya, he claims that the material energy, although very powerful, is under his control, and whoever surrenders unto him can get out of the control of this material energy. If a soul surrendered to Krishna can get out of the influence of material energy, then how can the Supreme Lord, who conducts the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the whole cosmic nature, have a material body like us? So this conception of Krishna is complete foolishness. Foolish persons, however, cannot conceive that the personality of Godhead, Krishna, appearing just like an ordinary man, can be the controller of all the atoms and of the gigantic manifestation of the universal form. The biggest and the minutest are beyond their conception, so they cannot imagine that a form like that of a human being can simultaneously control the infinite and the minute. Actually, although he is controlling the infinite and the finite, he is apart from all this manifestation. It is clearly stated concerning his Yogam Aishwaram, his inconceivable transcendental energy, that he can control the infinite and the finite simultaneously, and that he can remain aloof from them. Although the foolish cannot imagine how Krishna, who appears just like a human being, can control the infinite and the finite, those who are pure devotees accept this, for they know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore they completely surrender unto him and engage in Krishna consciousness, devotional service of the Lord. There are many controversies between the impersonalists and the personalists about the Lord's appearance as a human being. But if we consult Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, the authoritative texts for understanding the science of Krishna, then we can understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is not an ordinary man, although he appeared on this earth as an ordinary human. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, when the sages headed by Shonaka inquired about the activities of Krishna, they said, Nukritavan kila karmani saharamena keshava atimartyane bhagavan gudha kapatamanusha. Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with Balaram, played like a human being, and so masked he performed many superhuman acts. Bhagavatam 1.120. The Lord's appearance as a man bewilders the foolish. No human being could perform the wonderful acts that Krishna performed while he was present on this earth. When Krishna appeared before his father and mother, Vasudeva and Devaki, he appeared with four hands, but after the prayers of his parents, he transformed himself into an ordinary child. As stated in the Bhagavatam 10.3.46, Babuva Prakrata Shishu, he became just like an ordinary child, an ordinary human being. Now, here again it is indicated that the Lord's appearance as an ordinary human being is one of the features of his transcendental body. In the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita also it is stated that Arjuna prayed to see Krishna's form of four hands, Tenaiva Rupena Chaturbhujena. After revealing this form, Krishna, when petitioned by Arjuna, again assumed his original human-like form, Manusham Rupam. These different features of the Supreme Lord are certainly not those of an ordinary human being. Some of those who deride Krishna and who are infected with the Mayavadi philosophy quote the following verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam 3:29-21 to prove that Krishna is just an ordinary man.
Aham sarveshu bhuteshu bhutatma vastita sada.
The Supreme is present in every living entity. We should better take note of this particular verse from the Vaishnavacharyas like Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur instead of following the interpretation of unauthorized persons who deride Krishna. Jiva Goswami, commenting on this verse, says that Krishna, in his plenary expansion as Paramatma, is situated in the moving and the non-moving entities as the Supersoul. So any neophyte devotee who simply gives his attention to the Archamurti, the form of the Supreme Lord in the temple, and does not respect other living entities, is uselessly worshipping the form of the Lord in the temple. There are three kinds of devotees of the Lord, and the neophyte is in the lowest stage. The neophyte devotee gives more attention to the deity in the temple than to other devotees. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur warns that this sort of mentality should be corrected. A devotee should see that because Krishna is present in everyone's heart as Paramatma, every body is the embodiment or the temple of the Supreme Lord. So, as one offers respect to the temple of the Lord, he should similarly properly respect each and every body in which the Paramatma dwells. Everyone should therefore be given proper respect and should not be neglected. There are also many impersonalists who deride temple worship. They say that since God is everywhere, why should one restrict himself to temple worship? But if God is everywhere, is he not in the temple or in the deity? Although the personalist and the impersonalist will fight with one another perpetually, a perfect devotee in Krishna consciousness knows that although Krishna is the Supreme Personality, he is all-pervading, as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Although his personal abode is Goloka Vrindavan, and he is always staying there, by his different manifestations of energy and by his plenary expansion, he is present everywhere in all parts of the material and spiritual creation.
Text 12. Moghasha mogha karmano mogha jnana vichetasaha rakshasi masarin chaiva bhakatim mohinin shita.
Those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demonic and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruitive activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. Purport. There are many devotees who assume themselves to be in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, but at heart do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as the absolute truth. For them, the fruit of devotional service, going back to Godhead, will never be tasted. Similarly, those who are engaged in fruitive pious activities and who are ultimately hoping to be liberated from this material entanglement will never be successful either, because they deride the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. In other words, persons who mock Krishna are to be understood to be demonic or atheistic. As described in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, such demonic miscreants never surrender to Krishna. Therefore, their mental speculations to arrive at the absolute truth bring them to the false conclusion that the ordinary living entity and Krishna are one and the same. With such a foolish conviction, they think that the body of any human being is now simply covered by material nature, and that as soon as one is liberated from this material body, there is no difference between God and himself. This attempt to become one with Krishna will be baffled because of delusion. Such atheistic and demoniac cultivation of spiritual knowledge is always futile. That is the indication of this verse. For such persons, cultivation of the knowledge in the Vedic literature, like the Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads, is always baffled. It is a great offense, therefore, to consider Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to be an ordinary man. Those who do so are certainly deluded because they cannot understand the eternal form of Krishna. The Brihad Vishnu Smriti clearly states,
Yo veti bhautikam deham krishnasya padamatmano sa sarvasman bahiskarya shrauta smarta vidhanatah mukam tasyava lokyapi sachelam snanamacharit.
One who considers the body of Krishna to be material should be driven out from all rituals and activities of the Shruti and the Smriti. and if one by chance sees his face, one should at once take a bath in the Ganges to rid himself of infection. People jeer at Krishna because they are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their destiny is certainly to take birth after birth in the species of atheistic and demoniac life. Perpetually, their real knowledge will remain under delusion, and gradually they will regress to the darkest region of creation. Text 13. Mahatmanastu mam parta daivim prakritimashrita prajantyananda manaso gyatva bhutarim avyayam. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Purport. In this verse, the description of the Mahatma is clearly given. The first sign of the Mahatma is that he is already situated in the divine nature. He is not under the control of material nature. And how is this effected? That is explained in the 7th chapter. One who surrenders under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, at once becomes freed from the control of material nature. That is the qualification. One can become free from the control of material nature as soon as he surrenders his soul to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the preliminary formula. Being marginal potency, as soon as the living entity is freed from the control of material nature, he is put under the guidance of the spiritual nature. The guidance of the spiritual nature is called Daivi Prakriti, divine nature. So when one is promoted in that way, by surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one attains to the stage of great soul, Mahatma. The Mahatma does not divert his attention to anything outside Krishna, because he knows perfectly well that Krishna is the original Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. There is no doubt about it. Such a Mahatma, or great soul, develops through association with other Mahatmas, pure devotees. Pure devotees are not even attracted by Krishna's other features, such as the four-armed Mahavishnu. They are simply attracted by the two-armed form of Krishna. They are not attracted to other features of Krishna, nor are they concerned with any form of a demigod or of a human being. They meditate only upon Krishna in Krishna consciousness. They are always engaged in the unswerving service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness. Text 14. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridhavrata namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasati. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Purport. The Mahatma cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. His symptoms are described here. A Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord, Krishna, the Personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. In other words, he is not an impersonalist. When the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising his holy name, his eternal form, his transcendental qualities, and his uncommon pastimes. One has to glorify all these things. Therefore, a Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Brahma Jyoti, is not described as Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita. He is described in a different way in the next verse. The Mahatma is always engaged in different activities of devotional service, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and chanting about Vishnu, not a demigod or human being. That is devotion, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, and Smaranam, remembering him. Such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any one of the five transcendental rasas. To achieve that success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily, and vocal, everything, in the service of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is called full Krishna consciousness. In devotional service, there are certain activities which are called determined, such as fasting on certain days, like the 11th day of the moon, Ekadashi, and on the appearance day of the Lord. All these rules and regulations are offered by the great acharyas for those who are actually interested in getting admission into the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world. The Mahatmas, great souls, strictly observe all these rules and regulations, and therefore they are sure to achieve the desired result. As described in the second verse of this chapter, not only is this devotional service easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood. One does not need to undergo any severe penance and austerity. He can live this life in devotional service, guided by an expert spiritual master, and in any position, either as a householder or a sannyasi or a brahmachari. In any position and anywhere in the world, he can perform this devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become actually Mahatma, a great soul. Text 15. Jnana yagena chapyanye yajanto mam upasate ekatvena pitaktvena bahudha visvato mukham. Others who engage in sacrifice by the cultivation of knowledge worship the Supreme Lord as the one without a second, as diverse in many and in the universal form. Purport. This verse is the summary of the previous verses. The Lord tells Arjuna that those who are purely in Krishna consciousness and do not know anything other than Krishna are called Mahatma. Yet there are other persons who are not exactly in the position of Mahatma, but who worship Krishna also in different ways. Some of them have already been described as the distressed, the financially destitute, the inquisitive, and those who are engaged in the cultivation of knowledge. But there are others who are still lower, and these are divided into three. 1. He who worships himself as one with the Supreme Lord. 2. He who concocts some form of the Lord and worships that. And 3. He who accepts the universal form, the Vishwarupa of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and worships that. Out of the above three, the lowest, those who worship themselves as the Supreme Lord, thinking themselves to be monists, are most predominant. Such people think themselves to be the Supreme Lord, and in this mentality they worship themselves. This is also a type of God worship, for they can understand that they are not the material body, but are actually spiritual soul. At least, such a sense is prominent. Generally, the impersonalists worship the Supreme Lord in this way. The second class includes the worshippers of the demigods, those who by imagination consider any form to be the form of the Supreme Lord. And the third class includes those who cannot conceive of anything beyond the manifestation of this material universe. They consider the universe to be the supreme organism or entity and worship that. The universe is also a form of the Lord. Text 16. Aham katodaham yagya svadaham aham aushadam mantroham aham evajyam aham agnir aham hutam. But it is I who am the ritual, I the sacrifice, the offering to the ancestors, the healing herb, the transcendental chant. I am the butter and the fire and the offering. Purport. The Vedic sacrifice known as Jyotishtoma is also Krishna, and he is also the Mahajagya mentioned in the Smriti. The oblations offered to the Pitraloka, or the sacrifice performed to please the Pitraloka, considered as a kind of drug in the form of clarified butter, is also Krishna. The mantras chanted in this connection are also Krishna. And many other commodities made with milk products for offering in the sacrifices are also Krishna. The fire is also Krishna because fire is one of the five material elements and is therefore claimed as the separated energy of Krishna. In other words, the Vedic sacrifices recommended in the Karma Kanda division of the Vedas are in total also Krishna. Or, in other words, those who are engaged in rendering devotional service unto Krishna are to be understood to have performed all the sacrifices recommended in the Vedas. Text 17. Pitaham asya jagato mata dhata pitamaha vejam pavitram omkara riksama yajurevacha. I am the father of this universe, the mother, the support, and the grandsire. I am the object of knowledge, the purifier, and the syllable Om. I am also the Rig, the Sama, and the Yajurvedas. Purport. The entire cosmic manifestations, moving and non-moving, are manifested by different activities of Krishna's energy. In the material existence, we create different relationships with different living entities who are nothing but Krishna's marginal energy. Under the creation of Prakriti, some of them appear as our father, mother, grandfather, creator, etc. But actually, they are parts and parcels of Krishna. As such, these living entities who appear to be our father, mother, etc., are nothing but Krishna. In this verse, the word Dhata means creator. Not only are our father and mother parts and parcels of Krishna, but the creator, grandmother and grandfather, etc., are also Krishna. Actually, any living entity, being part and parcel of Krishna, is Krishna. All the Vedas, therefore, aim only toward Krishna. Whatever we want to know through the Vedas is but a progressive step toward understanding Krishna. That subject matter which helps us purify our constitutional position is especially Krishna. Similarly, the living entity who is inquisitive to understand all Vedic principles is also part and parcel of Krishna, and as such is also Krishna. In all the Vedic mantras, the word Om, called Pranava, is a transcendental sound vibration and is also Krishna. And because in all the hymns of the four Vedas, Sama, Yajur, Rig, and Atharva, the Pranava or Omkara is very prominent, it is understood to be Krishna. Text 18. Gatir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasak Shadanang Surit Brabhavak Pralayak Sthanam Nidanam Bijam Avyayam. I am the goal, the sustainer, the master, the witness, the abode, the refuge, and the most dear friend. I am the creation and the annihilation, the basis of everything, the resting place, and the eternal seed.